The Illusion of Choice. Are we living on autopilot? Chapter 12, The Tipping Point, Erasing Fate. There is the whirring of dental equipment as Scott sits in Howard's office getting his tooth fixed. A quiet conversation unfolds. Howard, chuckling, says,
"Well, you made it out alive.
That whole fight with what you say is a bad guy and a good guy and that famous physicist on TV. But now you're worried about free will and predestination. You sound like a philosopher." And Scott sighs. "Well, it's not that simple. There's something off. Quantum Quinn said it was always going to work out like it was already written. He said it many different ways, over and over. And it makes me think." And Howard says thoughtfully,
"Well, maybe it was. But here's the thing, Scott. You're still living, right? Whether it's written or not, you don't know the ending until you get there."
And Scott says, curious, "Have you ever heard about quantum erasure, how photons behave as if they know what we as the observers are going to do in the future, down the road, long after we do the experiment with them?" And Howard laughs softly.
Sure, sci-fi stuff again, but there's more to it. There was a scientist in Europe. He actually managed to interfere with quantum erasure. He thought he could stop the timeline from playing out, and he did."
And Scott's interested.
What happened? "Well, just keep your mouth open to let me finish this cavity, but I'll tell you, just don't talk."
Okay.
"Well, anyway, the lab blew up. Gas explosion, just like the one that took out Alejandra's apartment."
"You don't say."
"I told you not to talk."
"This is important. You're saying that someone found a way to stop quantum erasure, which is the way that photons seem to know the future. But then someone stopped them. Who would want to stop them anyway? Terrorists don't even know about quantum erasure and don't even care. There's nothing political about quantum erasure unless you're destiny itself."
And Howard says, "Well, then why didn't destiny just write a script where there never was that experiment to begin with?"
And Scott just shrugs, looking to keep his mouth open and allow his dentist friend to complete the drilling. When he's ready to leave, he mentions to Howard, "It's a good thing you fixed my tooth. You know, Alejandra moved out of my house, even though she was living there after the gas explosion. She wanted to find herself, and she's agreed to see me for a dinner tonight. So I didn't want to have a toothache bothering me. Now I'll just be a little numb, but, well, that'll wear off. I figured you'd say that, Howard. They all say that, but then your tongue still stays numb for like 9 hours afterwards."
"Well, listen, give me a call. If you need to use that tongue and it's numb, maybe we can work something out, Scott."
The scene changes to a Pilates studio. There is the soft thump of music and the sound of mats being rolled out and the class beginning. And Stacy says, teasing,
"So what's up with you and Mr. Overprotective? Still having issues with him?"
And Alejandra sighs.
"I moved out. I moved on. It's too much for me. And honestly, he's a good guy, but I'm actually thinking about something drastic. It's my problems go way beyond Scott."
And Stacy's curious, leaning in. "Like what, Alejandra?" And Alejandra says, hesitant, "Well, I've been looking into options, that there's this treatment that could help me forget all this predestination stuff. It could clear my head. I just can't be myself anymore. Like, everything I choose to do, even coming to this class or agreeing to meet Scott tonight for dinner, was already scripted out for me. I can't even make a decision about what to wear. I figure I should just sit there on the bed and let fate decide it for me." Stacy laughs at this.
"Well, you'd be stuck in bed an awful long time. You wouldn't be able to leave the house. And, well, you can't forget everything. Come on, that's extreme. Besides, you're still talking to that quirky physicist Quantum Quinn, right? Didn't he say that things would work out for you and Scott?
Alejandra says quietly, yeah, he called me and said that was all supposed to happen, but he also told me to get on with it and not to waste time. Well, you shouldn't waste time, Alejandra. If you love the guy, why waste time? And Alejandra says, but that's what scares me. What if he's right? And what if he can somehow see the future? And that future says we have to be together. The scene shifts to a restaurant. The quiet clinking of silverware and soft music in the background as Scott and Alejandra sit across from each other and talk for the first time in about 6 weeks. Well, I'm glad you agreed to see me again. I miss our conversation. I'm not pushing for anything romantic, but at least we can confer. We went through a lot together, fighting Nitty and overwhelming him with Quinn's help. If, in fact, we did anything to help, it might have already been scripted. And Alejandra says, you know, I was having the same thoughts myself. And Scott says, well, birds of a feather. And then he changes topics. You know, I've been thinking about us and about everything that's happened. There could still be hope. And Alejandra says skeptically, hope? After everything we've been through? And after everything we know about the predestination, the quantum erasure where particles know what's going to happen in the future? If they know, maybe everything's scripted out. And Scott said earnestly, well, Howard, my dentist friend, he told me about a scientist, someone who figured out how to stop quantum erasure, interrupt a timeline that would prevent the future from dictating what happens here and now, so we would have free will. Maybe there's a way to break free of all this. And Alejandra frowns. So what's happening with that? The lab blew up, Scott said. I did some research on it. And Howard wasn't wrong. This scientist had succeeded in stopping and reversing quantum erasure. It was incredible. The lab was in Helsinki, by the way, and, well, they're looking to try to rebuild it, or other scientists from around the world will probably try to replicate what was done. And Alejandra drops her fork and says softly, Helsinki? That's strange. Quinn called me about 2-3 weeks ago from Helsinki. He said he was at a symposium there. And Scott says, the lab blew up about 2-3 weeks ago. Both pause, trying to make sense of it all. And then Scott says finally, well, you think it's connected. Quinn was there when the lab blew up, and it blew up in the same manner that your apartment house did, with a gas explosion. That's interesting, too. And Alejandra nods slowly. I don't know, but if Quinn is more than we think, if he's maybe predestination itself, then maybe we were never in control. And Scott says softly, well, maybe. But that doesn't mean we give up. There's always a chance that someone will find a way to break free and stop this quantum erasure and the whole concept of predestination. And until then, we still have this. And Alejandra smiles faintly. And what if it's all been written? And Scott says gently, then we live the best story we can. But even if Alejandra and I did end up together, I then learned that it might not be the best story scripted at all. Quinn called and invited me to his newest lab. Where he got the funding, I'll never know, but it was the same digs that Quantum Quinn always seemed to work in. Futuristic lab equipment humming away, the faint flicker of holographic displays, and he gave me a short tour, but there was a subdued atmosphere as he took me on the tour. Scott says quietly to the physicist, you wanted to see me, Quinn. Why is that? And Quinn, without looking up, adjusting something on his desk, says, well, I think it's time we talked about the future, quantum erasure, the messy entanglement of choices and outcomes. It's strange, isn't it? You think you're in control, but sometimes the future is already written. And Scott frowns, stepping closer. So what is it, Quinn? Can we change things? Do we have a choice? Or are we just following a script robotically? And Quinn, finally looking up, his face calm, his eyes sharp, says, "You can influence certain outcomes, yes, but some things are just inevitable." He taps a few keys, and a holographic images start to form in the center of the room. And Scott, eyeing the projection, says, "What is this?" And Quinn says softly, "I wanted to show you something that you need to keep between us." And the hologram that appears in the air, out of thin air, shows a funeral procession. And Alejandra, her casket is being lowered into the ground. Scott can't see inside the casket, but he has a sense that it in fact is Alejandra. He sees himself standing amongst the mourners, a black suit, his face is ashen. He returns his consciousness to the lab and asks, "What the hell is this?" And Quinn, quiet, almost sympathetic, says, "Well, it's Alejandra. She has approximately 5 years left. Listen, I try to move things around and buy her time, but," he gestures toward the hologram, "this is inevitable." Scott's voice shaking says, "How could you possibly know this? She's young, she's healthy. There's no reason." And Quinn interrupts him more forceful now. "Anything can happen, Scott. Timing is everything. Remember that. You know that better than most. I'm trying to give you both time to enjoy what's left. I encourage her to go to dinner with you. This is the thanks I get? And your future, I'm trying to show you what it is. I can't change it. But you can live it the best way by being with her. And not fighting it. Because there may be an opportunity to fight your future. In the future. Before she dies. But that's up to you." Scott angrily says, "So you're just sitting back, knowing that this is coming and telling me to accept it?" And Quinn says coldly, "I like you both. I respect your intelligence, your loyalty. I'm trying to put you together and have some time together before she dies. Some things, Scott, they can't be stopped unless you stop destiny itself, and no one is stopping this runaway train." Scott grits his teeth, stepping forward. "So you are tied up in this, all of this, aren't you? The experiment in Helsinki, the explosion, this is all connected, isn't it? You don't want them to stop predestination because that would somehow disempower you. Maybe that's why you took such a strong stance against what Nitty was doing." And Quinn, smirking, says, "We'll leave that for another time. For now, focus on what you can control." As I stumbled, stunned, out of Quantum Quinn's lab, his words hung in the air. They echoed with a strange mix of certainty and doubt. "Enjoy the time you have left with Alejandra, Scott," he had told me. And for the first time, I realized that perhaps there were some cracks in the otherwise immutable plane of destiny. That there was a choice that still remained, at least if some scientist, like the one in Helsinki, had been able to stop quantum erasure and the inevitability of certain events. Could the future be rewritten after all, before it's too late?